Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
There is always an answer and a strategy that God has. And I believe, and I hope you don't think that I'm wrong for believing this, but everything the enemy means for evil, God is going to turn it for good. And I just started feeling something in my spirit as I was hearing you talk, Jessica. And I don't know what it is that we're going to do for Haiti, but I believe God is going to have us, God's going to give us a strategy for next Sunday. And I just want you to prepare your hearts. But I believe that God wants to do something, Etta, with your Elda. I believe God wants to do something through your family in Haiti. Prophet Eddie was talking to me last Sunday about Haiti and said, what is it that we can do for Haiti? And I believe God wants to actually turn this tragedy into an opportunity. God didn't cause the tragedy, but God can cause the tragedy to become an opportunity for salvation and revival in Haiti. And I believe God is going to use your family, Elda, and God is going to use hope, and God's going to do something in the nation and specifically in the area where your family is from. God's going to start something. And I want you to pray with me. And Jessica, I want you to pray with me. Church, I want you to pray with me, because I believe God is going to give us a strategy to bless Haiti and to take everything that's been a tragedy as of late and in the past, and God is going to turn it around for revival for that nation. Amen. God had already started to show me something while you were talking. There's so much anointing on what you were saying, Jessica. But it's still coming together. I know we're gonna talk together. We're gonna fellowship on this, and God's gonna give us a great revelation to be a blessing to the nation of Haiti. Let's pray before we begin to talk about the word. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word would come alive in us today. Lord, you know exactly where we are, exactly what we need to hear today, exactly, God, the areas that we need to grow in today. So, Father, speak to us today that we can be fruitful and we can continue to grow and become more like Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm believing for greater things. I want to thank Tyler for bringing me this chai latte. Thank you, my brother. In the world that we live in, it's a world that says, don't correct me. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. But actually, the community of God says something completely different. While the world is saying, I'm just going to do me and you can't tell me anything differently, the community of God says, if you love me, rebuke me. If you love me, rebuke me. Look at somebody and just tell them, just practice this real quick and say, if you love me, rebuke me. I love this. We've been on this series called Commit, Committed, Community. And we've been talking about the community of God, the community of faith. What we have here within the church is a community. So this concept that I want to talk to you about today is, if you love me, rebuke me. Because our culture says, don't judge me. I'm going to do me. I don't care what you think. But the community of God says, if you love me, rebuke me. Let's look at the word today. In Ephesians 5:21, if you'll go there with me, Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, get this, submit to one another. Not just submit to Christ, not just submit to God, not just submit to leadership, but submit to each other. Even take it down to a peer level within brothers and sisters, within the body of Christ, submit to one another. James 5:16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to who? Your pastor? No. Confess your sins to each other. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Let me tell you something. We love to quote the part of our prayers being powerful and our prayers being effective. But can I ask you a question? Maybe what God is trying to show us is for our prayers to become powerful and effective, we have to be willing to confess what's going on in our lives one to another so our prayers can become powerful. I had one sister and brother, one couple that was sitting in my office, and we were talking. I was checking up on them and said, hey, listen, I want to know where you guys are at. I'm excited about what God is doing in the church, but tell me what's going on in your life. And without any prodding, the wife just began to pour out all this information, and then she caps it off with, I just want you to know what's going on with me so you'll know how to pray. And I was like, wow, what an example of what Scripture talks about. Confess what's going on in your life. Confess your faults. Confess your struggles one to another. So as a body, we cannot gossip about each other, but rather pray from a standpoint of, I know what to pray for now, because we're now being honest with each other. The community of God is a community of accountability. If you look in the Scripture, it tells us about how we are to be accountable to one another. I do care what you think. I'm listening to hear because God might be speaking something through you. My assumption, instead of mind your own business, my assumption is maybe God wants to say something to me through you. So I do care what you're saying. There's not only submission inside the covenant of marriage, there's also submission inside the covenant of God's community. So intrinsically, within the fabric of God's community, is both loving affirmations, but also correction. So if you love me, rebuke me. I love it. A healthy community is a community that can correct one another in love. It is a community that trusts one another enough to say, I will listen to your rebuke. I believe God wants us to get to the point where we see correction as positive. Correction is positive. A rebuke is positive. When I'm at the dojo and I'm practicing jiu-jitsu and a higher belt tells me you're doing the move wrong, I don't say, mind your own business. I say, thank you. When I'm rolling with somebody that's on the same level as me, and they say, hey, man, I think you're doing that move wrong. I say, thank you. I'm going to take a look at that. I don't say, mind your own business. What would happen if, in the church, if we started saying, thank you, when somebody corrected you, when somebody rebuked you, you say, well, thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to say that to me. I know we do it sometimes, but it should be the norm of operation for us as God's community to say, thank you. Thank you for that correction. You can always learn something new. Look at somebody and tell them, you can always learn something new. Whether it's somebody that's older than you, somebody that's older than you in the faith, somebody that is even in the faith the same time. Sometimes God can use somebody that has just come to faith recently to say something. God can use anybody he wants to, right? In the Bible, he used a donkey. He used a rooster to communicate messages, right? So I want to stay open because I want to grow. Anybody here want to grow? I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to keep on growing spiritually. I want to be healthy spiritually and emotionally. And if you want to grow and you want to be healthy, surround yourself with people that will tell you the truth. If you want to grow, surround yourself with people that love you enough to tell you the truth. Not somebody that's just going to always telling you, man, you're awesome. Great, tell me when I'm awesome, but also tell me when I'm off. If you love me, rebuke me. When Pastor Corinne and I first started working together in music, we weren't dating. We were just doing music together. And I was the music director. She was on the worship team. And one time after Sunday service, she said, hey, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah, sure, we can talk. So we sat down and, I thought everything was good. She pulled out the Bible and she rebuked me. And Now, I could have said, you know what? I'm the leader. Mind your own business. I know what I'm doing. But there is power in receiving correction. When Pastor Corinne and I choose leaders to help us in this ministry, we don't choose yes people. We don't choose yes men and yes women. We choose people that know how to hear from God and speak up. Why? Because we want the ministry to grow. If you want to grow, surround yourself with people that will not only praise you, but also tell you, hey, this is an area you need to improve in. Surround yourself with people that aren't afraid to correct you. I love being corrected. My wife does it all the time. And husbands, man, if you are blessed enough to have a wife that will correct you, is not afraid to correct you, man, you are a blessed man. Wives, if you got a husband that knows how to, in love, correct you, you got a good thing going on. Listen, if you got a brother or sister in Christ that loves you enough to tell you if you're getting out of line, that is a good thing. Count yourself blessed to have somebody that will be honest and knows the word of God enough to say, hey, that doesn't look like that lines up with scripture. You might want to take a look at that. Surround yourself with people that love you enough to correct you. If you want to grow, if you don't want to stay the same, if you don't want to keep making the same mistakes or judgment errors that you have in the past, surround yourself with good people, good Christian brothers and sisters that love you enough to tell you the truth. Learn to love the rebuke. I went to go see a friend. He was a praise and worship leader. This was several years back, and they were doing this big worship thing, right? And I watched it. It was awesome. Spirit was great. And afterwards, he comes to me and says, hey, man, what did you think? And I said, oh, I thought it was great. He said, is there anything we could have done better? And I said, wow, this guy just did this amazing job, and he's inviting me to give him a correction. Learn to love the rebuke. Seek it out. Ask for it. Give people around you the permission to rebuke you if you get to doing something that is off, that is not like Christ. Surround yourself with people that you've given permission to rebuke you. If you want to grow, do not surround yourself with people that have a bad theology and won't correct you. It is not love to turn a blind eye when a brother or sister is doing something and it's off. That's not love. That's fake. I don't want fake brothers and sisters around me. I want somebody real. I want a real Christian around me that will tell me if I'm getting off course. Anybody want somebody real around you? Somebody that's real will tell you the truth. If somebody's around you and they're not telling you the truth, that's not a real relationship. They're not being real in their faith walk with you. Let's go to Galatians for a second, because I want to show you that the early church modeled this, even to the apostles. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:11, he said, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he was doing was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised, but afterwards, when some of the friends of James came, now Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw what they were doing, that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of the others, and I'll paraphrase, hey, that ain't right. So one apostle corrects another apostle, and actually a second person that the scripture considers an apostle as well. So even on the apostolic level, they were practicing rebuking one another. Listen, you can never get a title that is too high to be rebuked in the body of Christ. If Peter could be rebuked and he was the top disciple, he was the top apostle, let me tell you something. You and I, at any moment in our faith walk, should be ready and open and available to be rebuked or corrected. But here's the key. You want to get it right? Anybody here want to get it right? I don't know about you, but when I correct somebody, I want to get it right. This is the key to correcting. Always correct in love. Always correct in love. How many people have seen somebody correct somebody and it was just so rough? That's just like, man, do you know what the love of Jesus is? Because it looks like right now you just cut that person off at the knees. Always correct in love. This is the key. Always correct in love. At Hope, we talk a lot about leading in love, letting our actions or our decisions be motivated by love. It's always got to come back down to this. So when we correct one another, we must do it in love, rebuke in love. Whenever we correct, if there's not enough love, it feels judgmental. It feels like abuse. And it is in error when we correct and there is not enough love. Everything we do for Christ has to be motivated by love. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. The one who God loves, he corrects. So love is the motivator. When you rebuke someone in the community, it has to be done in love. It has to be done in humility. If you rebuke someone and there's not love, you're doing it in error. All right? Look at somebody and tell them, if you rebuke somebody and it's not in love, it's in error. It doesn't matter how true the truth is, if there's not love, it's wrong. It doesn't matter how true the truth is, doesn't matter how accurate the scriptural reference is, if there's not love in it, it's in error. If there's not love behind the correction, that's not the spirit of Christ. If there's not love behind the rebuke, you are not moving in synchronicity with the Holy Spirit. To correct someone without love is not to be obedient to the word of God. Listen to what John says. Listen to what Christ says in John. John 13:35. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So the world is going to recognize that we're his disciples. So even when we're correcting each other, it should be visibly evident that we love each other. We're correcting each other, but we still love one another. So even in rebuke, there is love. To correct someone without love is a violation of scripture and a violation of God's community. Hear me now. When we correct without love, it's a violation of scripture and a violation of how God says his community should function. 1 John 4:6. It says, this is what it says. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. So he goes from correction to straight into love. And he says, look, if they're not listening to us, they're not really a part of what God is doing here. But also, if you're a part of this, you're going to love one another. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows him. Listen, if you don't love while you rebuke, you're missing the key relational side of God. Wrap your head around this for a second. Someone may know plenty of scripture, they may know plenty of the principles of God, but if they're lacking in the love department, it's because they've fallen away in their relationship with God. Because to know God is to know and to be intimately aware of his love. So the moment that I begin to rebuke someone and there's not enough love, it means I've fallen away in my relationship with God. And at that point, I still know of God. I know the principles of God. I know scripture, but I'm not intimately relating to God in that moment in my life. Because if I am intimately involved, my relationship is spot on with God. Guess what? I'm going to be clothed in love. My actions are going to be motivated by love. You're going to see it on me. You're going to see the love. So there's a difference between knowing about God, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? It says the words are in their mouth, but their heart is far from me, right? That's exactly what happens sometimes with correction when it's done incorrectly, is somebody knows the Scripture, they know the truth, they know what's in error, but yet they're in error too for not having the love. People that know God love people. People that are in relationship with God love people. People that know God love God's community. People that know God not only love Jesus, they love the people that Jesus loves. Correction is a sign of love. Look at somebody and say this. Correction is a sign of love. Correction is a sign of love. A lack of correction is a sign of complacency and fear. Why do we not correct one another when we see something is off? Why? Because we are afraid it's going to damage the relationship. We don't correct because we're afraid of the fallout, of what might happen if we say the truth and we're honest. We're afraid it might mess things up. It might cause a mess, so I'm afraid to say anything. Or there's complacency. Somebody's been doing something so long and I haven't corrected them, so I'm just going to continue to just let it slide. Now it's complacency. Complacency and fear, it's a lack of love. Correction is a sign of love. Let's look here at the character and pattern of God is to correct someone that you love. The character and pattern of God is to correct someone when you love them. Look at this, Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Can you imagine a good father, good mother, not punishing a child when they did the wrong thing? They just, yeah, I'm just going to let that slide. And that child would be the worst child if the child was never disciplined by the father or mother. The father or mother never spanked them or put them in time out or something. The one the Lord loves, the Lord disciplines. That actually shows that you're in the family, you're in the community when you receive the rebuke, the discipline from the Lord. The pattern of God is to correct someone that you love. If we want to be godly, rebuke in love. If you want to be godly, rebuke in love. You want to be mature in your faith, learn to rebuke in love. If you love me, rebuke me. Jesus rebuked Peter. Peter was his top disciple. Peter would be the leader of the apostles. But Jesus did not hold back. He didn't hold back when it came to Peter. He told him, "You have little faith. How long will I be with you? Get behind me, Satan." Right? Or get behind me with that satanic temptation. He wasn't afraid to correct Peter because he loved Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter because he had great plans for Peter. Jesus corrected because he loved. And we have to learn to correct one another out of love. This is how God's community grows. This is how God's community stays healthy. If you love me, rebuke me. If you love me, if you care about me, correct me. We should invite correction. We should invite the rebuke because that is where growth happens. That is where health happens in our lives and in the community of faith. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you, Lord, for us having hearts, God, that are humble. Humble enough to say, I'll listen. I'll listen to God from the pastor. I'll listen to God from somebody else. God, help us to have hearts that are open and submitted to you, first and foremost, but also submitted to one another in love and open to receive correction. God, I thank you, Lord, that we have a heart to grow and we have a heart to improve and we have a heart to be the best version of ourselves and be more like Christ. But that only happens through correction, adjustment, rebuke, challenging. God, let us be a community that lovingly practices correcting one another. God, that nobody gets so prideful or so up on their pedestal that they think they cannot be rebuked. God, I thank you, Father, that you showed us the example of rebuking your disciples. You showed us the example of rebuking those that you loved and being honest about the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank you, God, for creating us as a healthy community. God, I thank you for that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith walk, and I know I want to be a part of this community. I want to be a part of what God is doing at Hope and beyond, but I know I need to connect with Jesus. I know I need to reconnect with my faith. I've kind of drifted, and I need that today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we could ask or think. I don't care what has gone on in the past. God wants to do something right now. God wants to do something right now. And he wants you to bring, he wants to bring you and line you up with his greatest purpose for your life. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray with me. And I want everybody to just agree in this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Jesus, thank you for your rebuke. I want to be like you. I'm sorry for the times I messed up. Sorry for the times I fell short and sinned. I need your help. I need your help, God. I want to be like you. I receive your free gift of forgiveness today. Wipe my slate clean through the power of the cross. Give me a fresh start today. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. And walk with me today. Walk with me every day. I surrender. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I want to learn to do it your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the praise today. God is good. God is good. God is good. I want to tell you that today is a new day. Today is a new day. The old is passed away. And behold, God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? God is doing a new thing. I want you to say that with me. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. God is greater than my past. God is greater than my sins. God is doing a new thing. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.